Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of the Garment Decorators podcast. This week, Andy and I are very excited to be joined by Matt from PrintPro UK. We have wanted to have Matt on the podcast for a very, very long time, so I'm very happy that we're finally sitting down to have this conversation. And we're going to dive deep into Matt's business, why he started, tips, tricks, social media. I want to touch on that as well. We've got a lot to cover today. So without further ado, Matt, hello, how are you doing?
Yes, I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for having me on. It's a nice surprise being contacted to get onto this.
No, I've got you knew we wanted to have you on the podcast ever since our TikTok rivalry at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, that was the start of it. That was fun.
To start off with, Matt, I just wanted to ask you, from a taking it back to when you first started your business, I don't really know the full story of how you came to start your business, you know, what made you make that decision and, you know, why you decided to start. So could you run myself, Andy, and the listeners through your story a little bit about your business?
Yeah, back in 2015, 2016, I was traveling with my wife, Australia, Southeast Asia, you know, as you do, as is done.
Living the dream.
Yeah. And at the time, or just before, I was a physiotherapist assistant. So I had a completely different background and my plan was to just come home from traveling, go to back to university and just train to be a physiotherapist. But then I wanted to sort of create an online business or just do something online. And I was really into the gym and I was a CrossFit coach. And I just decided to try and set up a CrossFit clothing brand or a clothing brand aimed at CrossFitters. And so I set that up when I was over there. And then I soon realized that unless you got some sort of following, well, back then anyway, unless you got some sort of following or, you know, a bit more experience in this industry, I suppose, it's really difficult to earn enough money, or it was back then. So then I came back from traveling and I just thought, why don't I just get a heat press and just try and do it myself? I watched lots of YouTube videos. And I just bought a really cheap heat press. My wife was very against it. It was £200-£300 heat press, really cheap. And my wife was really against it. And I just said, let's just try it. So before you knew it, people would just know that I was printing. And it's a very similar story of other businesses. People would know that I was printing. And then they would just be asking me to print their logos, to print their like birthday T-shirts, things like that. And then it just grew from there, really. So I think like quite a lot of people maybe started with a clothing brand or that sort of idea and then stumbled into actual fulfillment, I suppose.
A bit of word of mouth, perhaps. People are like, oh yeah, Matt can do that. I'll ask him to do it and so on.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And from then I've just started obviously in a bedroom like everyone does. And then you just move up and go into a garage and then that garage got made into a log cabin and I'm still in my back garden. And then I go to a premises above a gym where I used to work part-time and then to a unit, my first shop front, and now I'm closed everything and I've got this shop front here, which has a nice shop front, two production areas and then some storage down the back. So yeah, just grown from there really. And that's how it started.
And do you remember the first non-branded job that came through to you? What it was that what you printed?
I don't really, I should have thought about this before I come on, shouldn't I? I'm pretty sure it was one of two friends that are still customers today. One has a construction business and the other one has a hotel and restaurant. It would have been one of those two, definitely, that are still my customers today. And I'm literally printing and embroidering two jobs for them at the moment.
So what would you say some of your most popular products are? So you mentioned there you've got construction and hospitality, two very different industries for products that you would have to heat print onto. What would you say of all of the customers you've got, the most popular garment to decorate on is? Would it be T-shirts or is it a little bit more, is it different? Is it something along the workwear lines?
My business is sort of split up and I'm probably going to make it sound more complicated than what it is, but it's essentially when I had the CrossFit clothing brand, I've even got my supplier account set up under that email. And I knew that I couldn't really go and sell workwear to people under a CrossFit clothing brand, unless it was to a gym. So I've got my workwear side of things, my fulfillment side of things, which is PrintPro UK. And then under that, there's a few different brands. So it depends which brand we're talking about, really. So if it was on the workwear fulfillment side, then it is going to be the polo shirts, the t-shirts, 100% print and embroidery, just non-stop. But then when we go into a personalized brand, which I've got underneath PrintPro, then we're talking the boutique bags from Beachfield. And
yeah, we've printed on some of those before.
And those kind of things. So it sort of depends which brand we're talking about. It is a whole range of things, but they are separated in my mind anyway.
And that's why it's important that you have the equipment that can, you know, cater to all of that, right? So you mentioned that you first started out with, you know, a cheaper heat press. I know now that you've obviously got the Hotronics, we've got two Hotronics machines. When did you sort of make the call to change from your first press that you bought to a more efficient one that could allow you to print on a wider variety of garments?
When it broke.
No, clip that for Instagram, that's great.
Lots of people ask me what heat press to start with. Loads and loads of people do. And I say there's two options. There's two ways you need to look at it. Is either get a really cheap press to get you going, but just know that you will have to buy another one. And for me, I had to buy another one within the year just because I used it so much. And the actual mechanism of the lever just snapped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or then there's the other way of just thinking, right, well, I may as well just invest in this quality product now. Quality bit of machinery now, which not only does it mean that you're going to have it for a long time, but it does open the doors for you to print lots of other things because you know the quality is there in that press, and there's lots of different accessories that you can use on that press as well, just opening doors for more products.
And you know it's going to last a lot longer as well. You've got that reassurance that it will be with you for years and years and years rather than you constantly waiting for it to stop or, you know, being on edge every day. Or is today the day it's going to pack up? Yeah. Did you have any products that you struggled to decorate on when you first started out? Obviously, it would have been harder with the cheaper heat press, obviously. Yeah. But would you say there's anything in particular that you were like, oh, I had a really hard time figuring out how to print onto that?
Not a particular product that I can remember because it was quite a few years ago now, but I do remember if there was anything where I had to move the product, you know, if I had to move lots of seams and things or buttons off the platen, therefore I was printing around the edge, that is when I had problems. I do remember, or if I was printing bags and I had to move them really close to the edge, that would be the problem. Just because, as I think lots of people do know, but lots of people don't, the cheaper heat presses, they're not always as efficient on the heating element. It doesn't go all the way around, or if it does, it might be a cold spot here and there. So I do remember that in particular, but not a specific product, but maybe the bags. But yeah, I do remember the heating was a problem.
Was it transfers just like not fusing properly? Like you were peeling them and they weren't coming off because the heat wasn't completely distributed over the entire area that you were trying to print on?
Exactly, yeah, exactly. So many times you lift up the heat press and you just hope. And you just try and peel away and you just hope that it would stay. And you just know that it wouldn't. And I did get a heat gun because I didn't know what the problem was. So I would just go back on YouTube and try and find out, because with the heat press that I got, there was no real support or customer service or anything. So I did get a heat gun, and then you could just see that the heat wasn't perfect. And I thought, yes, that must be a problem. And it just did lead to so many problems where I'd increase the pressure and then there'd be a mark on the bag. And I think, okay, well, it's fused, okay, but there's a big mark on the bag. And if I went the other way, then there'd be no mark on the bag, but there'd be no transfer either.
Yeah, you need to get that balance right, don't you, for it to work properly. Yeah. we've all been there.
Yeah.
You can't run your business like that either, can you? Like you said, hoping that every time it goes up that it's adhered. You want to know that every time you lift it up and you peel that carrier that it's going to be 100% perfect every single time.
Oh yeah, 100%. And at the beginning, I mean, if you just start and you don't really have much money to put into it, or you don't want to risk the money, you are going to have some problems. And it is probably better just even one of the basic styles products, one of the basic ones. It's not going to break the bank, but it's not. But you know it's going to last and help you in your business a lot.
So that's kind of talking a little bit about which equipment you would need when starting out. But something I wanted to get your opinion on, and this is based purely on your like TikTok videos that I've been stalking, not going to lie. They are very good. You get great interaction, and we'll touch on the social media side of things in a bit. But you talk a lot about particular products on your TikTok, about this is the best jacket for workwear. This is the best for this. We've got this new product in. This is this bundle. So I wanted to get your perspective on how people would select products to provide their customers, because we've spoken before on this podcast about, you know, not wanting to offer people too much, because if you give them too much choice, they then can't make a decision. But you seem to have a good selection to the point where you've got enough to talk about. So what would your advice be for someone who, two scenarios, say they're just starting and they don't really know what to do, and then also if they're looking to expand into workwear, winterwear, that kind of like jacket situation, what would your advice be for them on product selection?
Yeah, you're right in terms of if you just offer everyone everything, or if you have every product on the website, 100% I would just go on the website, be completely overwhelmed and just leave straight away, and then it's just you just wouldn't get the sale at all. In terms of getting like learning what products to use, I just try and find a rep. Just get hold of the supplier, get hold of the rep, and they will usually offer you, or they'll either bring it round or a product round, or they will just send you out a sample for you to use. I've had over the years, I just buy the samples in and add it onto my order, because obviously if I wasn't hitting the amount to get free carriage, I would just add a sample on. And then I've had boxes and boxes of samples. So I do know what to talk about there, but I would advise don't spend all the money on the samples if you don't have to. Just try and get hold of a rep. Phone the suppliers. They're really good. The main suppliers in the UK are really good, and they all have reps in your area. And that is how you can get hold of a sample just to try out and use the products and just give them a go. Just try them out and see how they hold up to the print and how they hold up to the heat and the pressure that you're going to put it under. But that, just get hold of the reps.
Yeah, we always advise testing first, because I mean, Andy and I always say that we can provide you with, you know, the perfect application instructions for the decoration material. We can give you the best quality heat press on the market and the settings for that. But some fabrics and some garments, dependent on if they have obstructions and things like that, need testing beforehand, because you are going to have to alter your process ever so slightly to get that perfect application. So I think that's fantastic advice. What would you say your favorite product is to decorate out of any that you've ever printed on before?
Favorite in terms of ease, it's just slapping on a tote bag. No, but listen, I just a standard t-shirt, you can just left chest print, you can just lay it down, you can get through so many, especially knowing that you've got a good heat press and a good transfer or vinyl, you can just get through so many. But I do like putting prints on there's some gilets, especially from Result and places like that, where they have different colors, and then once you match the brand color up with the zips, it really looks nice. That's just in terms of like aesthetic, mm-hmm. It really looks nice. But in terms of ease and just getting through jobs, you just can't beat a t-shirt, really, can you?
So earlier this year, I noticed on your TikTok page that you were offering bundle products to people. I wanted to talk to you about this because it's something we have mentioned before on the podcast. We recently recorded, I don't think it's come out. Oh no, it came out on Monday. Yeah, the most recent one we've posted, mm-hmm. was the how to increase average order value and win larger orders. And one of the points within that was bundle up your products. Now, I noticed that you did a workwear bundle, but you also gave away a free beanie with that. So I have two questions off the back of it. Number one, are bundles worth it to you for increased sales? Like, how do you price that so that you know you're still gonna, you know, increase your sales but still get a good return? And then my second question is, how do you know when you as a business can justify giving away a free product with an order?
Okay, yeah, bundles. So I used to think that in order to offer a bundle, you'd have to put a heavy discount on it, or just really discount the bundle as a whole. But I've come to realize that maybe you can do that if there's you know, a big order of one single product. But now I find that lots of business owners who primarily have these bundles, they just want the batch together. So instead of just going and instead of making that business owner go on the website, order each product individually, they're just happy just to see the product. They'll see, oh, there's t-shirts, I want those. There's jumpers, I want those. There's jackets, I want those. I don't have to look for all those myself. But I would have been happy to pay for them individually, but because they're there and all I have to do is upload my logo and click buy, I'm buying. So yes, on some bundles, it is nice to give a little bit of a discount, because for some business owners, that is attractive. Some business owners, they might go on there and, you know, order each one individually and then compare that with the bundle and say, well, it's not really a bundle if it's not a discount. But others are just, I find, it's just happy to have the bundle there ready to buy. So I think that businesses like me and other people with print businesses, I don't necessarily think you have to put a bundle together and offer a big discount on that, because yes, you're in it to obviously make profit on it, and you don't want to just be discounting those bundles all the time. So that's what I think about that. And then what was the second part of the question? Sorry,
I kind of bombarded you with a lot there. The second part was about the adding on the free product. So you added on the free beanie with every workwear bundle. How do you know when a free product is justifiable to your business?
Oh, well, it just goes hand in hand. I mean, if you've got a bundle and there's a heavy discount on it, then you just might not be able to offer a free product. But if you are going down the line of thinking of the bundle as in, this is just convenient for the customer, then you can afford to just put in a beanie or a few beanies, which cost you nothing. But it does, when you're adding on those things, say a winter workwear pack, which I know it's summer, but it'll be winter soon. If you have a winter one, and then you think, well, the business owner is going to come in, he's going to see this winter workwear pack, and he's going to think, they're all the products that I want. I don't have to go search for them individually. I'll buy that. Oh, there's a few free beanies for the team. Great. So yeah, I think convenience, making it easy for the buyer and making it convenient for the buyer to just see, bundle it up, and then you don't necessarily have to add a big discount on those.
I think that's a really good point, because it's the convenience factor, the comfort factor from the person buying it is a really important indicator where they want to buy. They come to you because you made their life simple, because that you've made put a pack together. It's logical. You know, you're being fair with what you're offering into it. They're like, oh yeah, do you know what? That was easy. They don't get paid to put together bundle packs, do they? That's your job. You get paid to do that for them.
Yeah.
But I think it's, you know, we talk about perceived value from a decoration point of view of, like, you know, maybe it's putting high build on is perceived value, but actually the perceived value of your service is also important. So by you providing that service to them of, like, here is a nice simple pack for you, easy to order, good quality. I've tested it, and you know, you have the backup of, like, actually talking about it on TikTok and Instagram to go with it, like a value of as a speaker. Then they're like, do you know what? Yeah, if Matt says this is a good offer, it's a good offer. I'm going to go with it. It's got everything I want. It's ticking all the boxes for us. I'm very happy with it. You know, the convenience factor is massive.
Yeah, definitely. It's just try and make things as frictionless as possible. Just. I do. They're the best customers. The customers with not big businesses necessarily, but just local businesses to you, that they just, yes, they might be a bit of a pain because they want things yesterday, but they want it. They pay. They just want you to just. They trust you basically to put a nice pack together, deliver it how you say you're going to deliver it, and they're the ones who value the bundles and the convenience that you're giving them. So they're my favorites.
So let's talk about social media. Let's touch on Instagram, TikTok, because is something that you do very well. We are very envious of how you run your TikTok account. I think your engagement and views are great, and especially for our industry as well, there aren't many people putting content like what you do and what we try to do out onto that platform. So firstly, thank you for doing that, being part of the industry. But secondly, what would you say your business success has been like since you've seen more of a regular flow on those platforms? Have you seen a particular uptake in your order numbers, or has it been more of a brand awareness thing, or what would you say you've gained from that?
Being able to just sort of, I just decided that some people were asking me questions. I just decided that, look, I'm just sort of going to create this account call myself That Print Guy, because lots of people would just say, oh, have you been over to see That Print Guy? Not calling me that, but that's what they say. So I just thought, oh, this is an account called That Print Guy. And since I started offering advice to other business owners, it seems like a sort of a two-pronged attack, because lots of customers, potential customers, are just seeing that I know what I'm talking about, and I'm sort of trying to position myself as, you know, the expert in the industry, so they would look to me to do their work with for them. But then on the other side, I've got business owners just like me who are asking for my advice and also asking me to fulfill their orders for them. So it's, so I'm sort of getting it from two angles, and it is really all down to the social media. So yeah, since you started getting a little bit of traction on social media, you just learn to do it a little bit more, you learn to do it a little bit better, you scrap things that you think are not working as well, you double down on other things, and then yeah, you just think the doors just open and things just happen when you just put a bit of effort into social media. But it's not even a bit of effort, to be honest. It's just talking about what I do day to day. If I've got 100 t-shirts to print over on the heat press, I'll just go live, and then again, you've got the two sort of potential customers watching, asking questions, and just engaging. And that engagement then just rolls over, and just like a snowball effect, and they'll go and see the videos, like, comment, and it just goes and goes and goes. So, oh yeah, just got to keep it up now.
I think you're really doing a fantastic job on it, but it all seems, it's very authentic as well. I think that's part of what works for it, is that you're not trying to fake what you do. You're obviously passionate about it, which is one of the reasons we wanted to have you on here, is you seem to really care about what you're printing, the advice you're giving to people, to make sure that, you know, either they can, you know, they could, might, some of them will just be like, you know what, Matt, just do it for us. Mm-hmm. Some will be like, you know, that was really inspiring. I've always wanted to make t-shirts around this or do this, or I'm in another part of the country and there's room for both of us. I'm going to, you know, go on and do it myself now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is there a kind of common questions or main questions that tend to come up more often for you when you're going live or posting these videos?
Yeah, like we touched on, it is, what heat press can I start with? And then I go, you know, I give them those two options of go cheap and you just be prepared, you're going to have to get this one anyway, so you may as well just get this one now. Lots of people do just ask general advice about printing, about what transfers to use when and whether to use vinyl or not. Lots of people do ask that, and then you get lots of people asking about embroidery machines. So yeah, there's quite a few questions, but really it's, what heat press can I use? What's the best transfers to use? When should I use this transfer? And yeah, it's just, I just enjoy engaging. I'm not an expert in everything. I do have just experience, really, and I just know where I've gone wrong, and I know when I've used products which haven't really been up to scratch, and I know when I've used heat presses which haven't been up to scratch. So I just give people my own advice, and like you said, I just try to be just me, just authentic as possible, and yeah, I try not to pretend.
don't have to name names of like product or anything like that, but can you remember a time where it has all gone wrong, like where you perhaps have a last minute job, or you've had to speak to a customer and be like, do you know what, it's not happening, I'm really sorry? Has there been an educational experience along the way like that?
There's been lots of things where yeah, people have come in last minute, and I said I'll be able to do it, and then I've either sort of ordered a product, like say I've ordered a transfer just because I know I can get it there and then, or I've ordered a t-shirt just because I know I have it there and then, and it just hasn't worked at all. And then a job which is supposed to be last minute, a little bit of profit, but then I just end up losing profit just because of the labor, and then possibly sometimes buying in the products again from better suppliers. So there's been a few times, and you just learn, you think, oh, last time that didn't go so well, so maybe I'll do this a bit differently. But yeah, things like that. But the one that comes to mind, a massive one, is not so much about the actual printing or the embroidery of it, but I had, there's a company in London who do event, well, they do IT, but they do big events, and they had a big event in Morocco, and I've done some work for them before, and this was like a £3,500 order, tote bags, t-shirts, polo shirts, lanyards, the lot. But they wanted me to send it to Morocco, which I've sent overseas before plenty of times. I've never actually sent to Morocco, and maybe this is the reason why. They paid for the shipping. They were absolutely fine. The shipping ended up being about £400, and I was a bit shocked at that. But they said, yeah, they've done it before, so they paid for the shipping. It went over to Morocco, didn't leave Morocco customs. The event happened. It was gone. We were back and forth with the Moroccan customs trying to get it back, basically, because the customer just said, we'll just have it back in the UK. So I thought this is going to be another problem. And then all of a sudden, they said they just destroyed the whole thing. And so it was £3,500 gone. The company was extremely good, though. I was very worried, but they were extremely good. And they just saw it as a loss, and we moved on.
That could have gone one of two ways. Yeah. And I think you had the luckier version of the two.
Yes, definitely, definitely. But I mean, there's a few things I can learn from it. One is not send to that country again. But maybe don't take control of the shipping. Maybe I should just leave it to the company to take it to their own event. But you live and you learn, don't you, with those?
Yeah, you have to try these things as well.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of really good points in there, I think, Matt. One is, you know, clearly effort you put into your customer service with that customer previous has had a big impact, because I think if you hadn't had the relationship with them either, they probably would have been like, at least made you go halves on it or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so yeah, I have done quite a lot of work for them before, and yeah, it's a fairly big company, and they've got a lot of staff, and the previous orders have been fairly big. So, you know, I try and just work with them myself, and but try and be very personable with them. So, yeah, that probably went a long way, luckily.
And I think your point about the shipping is one that you can very easily get tripped up on. But I know that one of my first jobs was as a marketing assistant. I used to have to send stuff all around Europe and outside of Europe to different trade shows that people were exhibiting at. And you think, oh, I sent it to this country, it must just be the same. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, well, actually, you know what? I think it was Denmark. Everything is very state controlled there. So okay. Like FedEx is not allowed over the border. So they can't actually deliver it. They have to give it to someone else. But you know, just don't know these things until you find out. And you're like, oh, great. That, you know, that never arrived.
Yeah.
I think the other thing I would say, this is again, going back to one of my previous roles, is I used to work I used to run events for the Department for International Trade in the eastern region of the UK. And if you find yourself sending lots of stuff abroad, then it's just the same as the brand ambassadors for a lot of the blanks companies. There's equivalents of those that work essentially for you for export, that they're all measured upon how much export the UK does. Even post-Brexit, but there's actually a lot of advice and help around sending stuff abroad that if you find yourself doing it on a regular basis or get stuck, or even you want to open up more opportunities, there's actually quite a lot of help out there that I would encourage people to have a quick Google to find out the right contact for you, because there's actually quite a lot of opportunities for exporting that people don't always know about because they're not always that well advertised.
Yeah. So good advice, because we've actually stopped sending to Europe because after Brexit, it's just, I don't know, just things have just been a little bit more difficult to send to Europe. It's a lot quicker and easier for us to send to Australia and USA and Canada. So we still do that. But yeah, the Europe, we've just stopped.
I was going to go into something else about social, but I don't know if that kind of leads in now. So is there anything else we want to touch on before I jump us back?
I think I was just going to ask you, really, I mean, we've talked about, you know, the decorating side of business and the importance of that bit. Is there sort of more general business advice that you would perhaps give to people who are thinking about starting and getting into garment decorating, or been in it a few years and looking to grow, that you like, watch out for this, or this was some advice I'd wished I'd been given 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago?
It's really down to, well, there's a few things you can look at, isn't it? Obviously, the finance side of things, whereas in terms of, you don't need to really go and buy every bit of equipment. You can, I'm building a community as we speak, and you can, with the aim of everyone being able to sort of outsource things. So people are obviously still outsourcing things to me, but you don't have, you can sort of dip your toe in some things and try and build up some profit, then buy the machine. So you can have a little go, rather than starting off buying a cheap machine and then realizing, oh, you have to buy another one and you have to spend more than what you were initially going to do. So maybe first off, be realistic about your budget, your startup budget. Like I said, outsource things at the beginning, maybe, or if you don't have that budget for a decent bit of equipment, you know, that you know that you could, that is going to allow you to do the job best, really. But then the other side of things for just general business is you need to just get out there and just tell people what you do. I love the video, the podcast that you did. I think you might have done it twice, actually. I've listened to it twice, about looking for local business and finding how many local businesses there are and really just going after them and really trying. I'd say my advice would be to try and dominate your local area. You can make digital mock-ups with them, like you've said plenty of times. You can go as far as go to the next level, get a blank, get their logo, print the logo, deliver it to them. Again, it adds some more. It is all about really being really on top of your market and marketing and being forward thinking about it, not just setting up a Facebook page and just sitting there and waiting for people to come and order. Get out there, try and dominate your local market and then your local area, and then you can just you can just expand from there then. But that, yeah, definitely dominate your local area.
I think that's fantastic advice, and you're right, we do talk about that a lot, because it is such an important step for people starting out. And like what you just said there, creating a Facebook page and waiting for people to order, if you're going out there and getting to know your local businesses, you could probably start without any socials and without a website. Like if you are just doing, you know, word of mouth almost between local businesses, you don't need to spend all that time building something that you might not use for a few months anyway. You know, do it when you need it, not when you think you need it. I did a conversation, I think it was with Kelly, about filming yourself for your business and how confident people can be with that. But
yeah, I do remember what you said last in the podcast there. I don't know if it was that exact podcast, but it was about creating a face for the business. So
yeah,
on the social media, about having a face for the business, and it doesn't have to be you as the business owner. It could easily just be some sort of mascot or something, or just someone there. Like you, obviously, both of you, you think of Stars UK, and you think of you two, just because you're on the videos, you're on the podcast all the time. And if you don't want to be that person, as say you're the business owner, like if I didn't want to be that person, even though I enjoy it, then you just try and find some sort of other theme. Or advice I give to lots and lots of people, if they don't want to be on camera, is do a time lapse. Time lapses are brilliant. You would literally just do, I do them all the time, just do a time lapse of you printing some t-shirts, and then you can do just do a voiceover over that. Or even if you didn't want to do a voiceover to begin with, you can just do text on screen. And that is such an easy way. Sometimes I do that if I'm feeling not lazy, but if I haven't got something to talk about that day, or I haven't got the energy to edit the video or make it look decent, I would just find one of my time lapses, maybe do a quick voiceover, maybe do a text on screen. But yeah, that's people always ask me about that, and I always just say, get to the time lapse on your phone and just print some t-shirts, and then you've got it there in your camera roll. Then
I think that's good advice, because the thing to remember, I always tell people, is like, your story is more interesting than you realize. What you're doing, people are interested in that sort of thing. They kind of, it's either the nerdy detail, or just like, sometimes it's just something that looks quite satisfying. Like, it could be like, say it's you're fusing t-shirts, or maybe you're folding those t-shirts neatly, putting them into the box. People are kind of weirdly attracted to that kind of content. They're like, oh, that's quite
it's really satisfying. It's
quite cathartic for me to watch what they were doing there.
I've had quite good traction with a few videos that I've done with no sound. I've turned the radio off. I think I've locked the door, so nobody comes in, but no sound whatsoever. And I'm literally putting my clothing onto an embroidery machine, and then the clicking and things like that. They just keep you, and like shortcuts, maybe 1 or 2 seconds, and then you move to the next one. So it takes a lot for me to film it. But people like the little clicks. And then on the heat press, I done one just the other day, actually. And just the sound of just the heat press going down and then slamming and then popping back up, sliding the dryer, just all those little sounds. I didn't talk at all, but I get quite good traction on it.
Yeah.
Sometimes maybe I talk too much on camera.
I think it's two types of videos though, isn't it? Because you said about being authentic and having, you know, you on the videos and people knowing who you are, who your business is, and associating those two things together. But I also think, you know, the internet is absolutely insane, the size of it and the people you can reach. And, you know, majority of the people that you're reaching on your social accounts probably aren't in your local area. They probably are, you know, further afield. And whether or not they are within a region to buy from you, somebody within the same industry, heat printers, for example, will find that kind of thing satisfying. So it's almost like taking your business out of it for a second and being more of a sort of, I don't know, influencer for the heat printing industry. Do you know what I'm trying to get at here?
Yeah, definitely. I just try not to sell so much on socials. I try not. Definitely. I'm not funny. I'm not an actor. I don't have to be entertaining as such, but if I'm just telling people about my day and telling people about this job that I'm doing, then I watch other heat printers and other print businesses do it. And I just feel that maybe if they just stood there and just said, oh, buy this t-shirt, I'd probably just scroll straight away. So I just find that people don't go on social media to buy necessarily. You know, they just go on to maybe be entertained or have a little scroll through or learn something. So that is how I look at it all the time. Just try and think of who's actually watching this. And obviously I hope that a business owner with a big business is watching it so they can buy some t-shirts off me, but I'm not necessarily doing it for that. So yeah, that's how I look at it.
I would disagree with the you're not funny part, because we have watched a fair few of your videos and Andy has done exactly that after everyone.
I just try and be myself. I don't think I'm funny. I just try and be myself. I did someone commented something. I can't even remember what it was, but they weren't very happy with the video that I put out. They said I was rubbish in another business, which I wasn't. I was just rubbish in the way they printed something. And it was a big business, so but don't worry about that. And they commented on it. They said neither of the businesses, like as in me and the other business, are going to have their cash. And I just said, oh, I wasn't actually rubbish in a business, but we do take card anyway. So I feel that myself for that, but I don't feel like I go out to do funny things.
So I've got a couple more questions for you there, Matt. Is you mentioned something you said there, you said, you know, you turn the radio off because you're making some videos, but I'm kind of curious, as someone who's heat printing all day long, when you're not listening to the Garment Decorators podcast, obviously.
Obviously.
What is a good soundtrack to heat printing and decorating?
That's a good question.
I listen to podcasts, really. That's all I do. I listen, whether it's print podcasts, whether it's, this is obviously top of the list. Second on the list is rugby podcasts. So I listen to Welsh rugby podcasts, and yeah, I just have podcasts on, but I still find that I'd rather just go on live, because go on TikTok live, because otherwise I'll just scroll through TikTok anyway. The press is down. I got 12 seconds. I'll just start scrolling through, and then I just slows me down. But yeah, just podcasts and TikTok live. That's pretty much what I do.
Okay.
Sounds very efficient.
Yeah. And one question we always like to ask printers is, what is the weirdest thing you've ever printed for someone?
I love this question so much.
Oh, I don't know. Someone actually asked me this on the live yesterday. And I genuinely can't think of anything off the top of my head that is really bad or the weirdest thing. But I did have to turn down a job a few weeks ago because I just could not print the image that he sent me. I will not say anything else. But I could not do it, and I just had to. I didn't want to sort of say to him that I can't do this, but I just said I won't be able to do it in time for the date, and that was it. But yeah, I can't really think of anything off the top of my head which was really weird. Just something that I had to turn down. Let's just leave it there.
Fair enough.
I would very much like you to send us that in a private DM, because I do want to know what that was, but we don't have to publicly announce it.
No. Definitely not.
Okay, so for people who might be new to you, who are not on TikTok, that would like to follow along, find you on there, how is the best way to find you on socials? And also for like anyone that's listening that might want some garments printed, how is the best way to get in contact with you?
If you do want just your own garments printed, if you do want your own workwear and things like that, then my business, Print Pro UK, is just Print Pro UK on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, printprouk.co.uk, where you can go upload your logo, move it around, make it bigger, smaller, change the color and things like that, and just order there. But if you want to get into printing and get into and maybe start your own business or grow a business which maybe you've just started, then Print Pro Matt, or That Print Guy, is on TikTok and will be on Instagram very shortly. And there I'm trying to build a community where I just want to give people the information that I wish I had 7 years ago. So I'm trying to build a community where it's just sort of like, I mean, is it going to be as official as an academy? I don't know. I don't want to call it a course or anything like that. It's just a community of people who I can share my experience and my knowledge with to help start and grow a print business, and send them your way to buy your heat presses.
Watch this space. How exciting.
Yeah, I am launching it. It should be launched this month, as in July, August.
Fantastic. Well, I think that's a great place for us to finish on, Matt. It's been wonderful having you on here to chat. It's always good to see you. And I'm sure this won't be the last time that we do one of these episodes together. But I would just to encourage everyone to go and find Matt online. There's some really interesting content out there, very honest, but there's lots of really good tips and tricks in there as well that I think everyone will find very valuable.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah, thanks so much for coming on, Matt. And I just wanted to remind everybody that is watching to like and subscribe on whatever platform you're watching on, whether that be YouTube, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And we will be back next week with another Garment Decorators podcast episode. Thanks so much for coming on, Matt.
Thank you very much. It's been enjoyable.